morning. Good morning. Oh, that's plenty loud. And I'm a loud mouth, so I'll let them moderate. Well, thank you to Pastor Amy for inviting me to share this. I also want to thank her. She shared with me some of her thoughts and some of her notes about preparing for this, so it made the way much easier. And I also like to say a word to any of the youth that are here. I've seen a couple around here. Just know that we as a congregation are absolutely committed to our youth ministry, and we want to see it going forward, and we're here for you. So just wanted to be sure you heard that from as many people as possible. And I encourage all of us to really support our staff, especially during this time where we have one on sabbatical and down a position. So give them some extra love. This is the second week of a six-week series. Pastor Verinia kicked us off last week by reminding us that the spiritual gifts are tools God gives us to play our part in God's plan for the world. She reminded us that the spiritual gifts are different than talents. So if you didn't hear that sermon, I encourage you to get back on our online and listen to it. It's a great kickoff for this. And so today we are focused on the different spiritual gifts and what they might look like today. I'd also encourage you to go back to last week's newsletter and download the ELCA Women's Resource. It's not just for women. So men, you can download it too. And there's actually a really nice assessment that kind of helps you figure out what your spiritual gifts are. And they happen to be some printouts of them sitting back there on that table just to the right there. So pick one up and find out what your spiritual gifts are. If you will join me, please, let us pray together this prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. How many of you have ever seen a job description and you thought, oh, I'd like that job? How many of you have ever done that? Yeah. And then you went to the interview and you found out there were all types of skills and talents you were supposed to have that you didn't expect. Anybody have that happen to you? Yeah. So, for example, you wanted to feed people, but you went to the interview and you found out you had to do a statistical analysis of food, employment, housing, the geographic area surrounding every place where the food's distributed. And then you had to be a great teacher of soft skills, soft people skills, and then you needed to be able to raise all the funds for the food. And. Mission impossible. Dun, dun, da, dun, 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 da, da, dum. So sometimes I think when we look at this long list of spiritual gifts, which will be coming up in a sec, it's a very long list. It's so long. See, all those, I think we look at it as a job description, and I think we think it's an impossible job. It's a mission impossible. But let's break it down and look at the gifts individually and consider the different ways that Jesus demonstrated those gifts himself in his ministry and the ways we might see them today. Now, it's a long list, so we're going to look at them briefly, and there'll be a lot on the screen to sort of help you hang with me. But the first gift we're going to look at is healing. There are countless stories of Jesus healing, but let's look at the healing of the paralyzed man in Mark 2. As you recall, the crowds were pressing in on Jesus, and so he went to this house, but the house was filled to the gills. And so the friends of the man living with paralysis really wanted to get him before Jesus, so they lifted him on the roof, then they dug a hole in the roof, and they lifted him down. And when Jesus saw the man's faith, and he saw the faith of his friends, he forgave the man his sins. Well, and then the leaders of the day, they sort of challenged Jesus and said, well, why are you forgiving him of sins? So at that point, Jesus said, okay, pick up your pallet and walk, and did the healing. But first, there was the healing of the restoration of the man's spirit. Then there was the separate restoration of the body. Now, I think today we think we can't do miraculous healing, but I think we can see aspects of healing through our helping professionals. Recovery of chronic illness, emotional, mental, and spiritual restoration, survival and recovery from life-threatening situations. God sends those in the healing professions to provide this type of restoration. Everyday people following the way of Jesus. The next one, prophecy. I think we tend to think of it as foretelling the future. But if we really examine some of the prophecies in the Old Testament, and some current scholarship tends to look at this more as asking the right questions, engaging in critical reflection, and looking at the big picture to address oppression and other ills in society and in the church. What if it is responding to people's everyday struggles and hopes and encouraging the church to make shifts and moves to respond to the big picture of God's amazing kingdom? In Matthew 23:23, Jesus calls out religious leaders of the day for their neglect of injustices, that they needed to make shifts to respond to God's big picture. Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, dill, mint, cumin, but you've neglected the important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." I think some respects our work with LifeWise, and it's an effort to address the injustice of economic poverty and really seeing the ill in society that needs to be addressed. Now, the next one, I'm putting two together, various tongues and interpretations of tongues. What if this is that a certain person can help other people who are on opposite sides of an opinion or an issue really hear each other? What if tongues and interpretations is helping them connect to each other? In John 4, Jesus shares the good news of God's love with the Samaritan woman. And if you'll recall, Samaritans were outcasts. They worshiped God, but they didn't come to Jerusalem to worship. So they were considered ne'er-do-wells. But the Samaritan woman was at the well, and she heard God's language of love through the tongues of Jesus. And then she spoke her own tongues by going back to her town, and it is said that many Samaritans then believed in Jesus because of her. Powerful deeds. Progressive theologians think this should be understood as the Spirit-enabled, mission-driven actions of believers that reflects God's power and love in the world, whether through healing, justice, teaching, or community building. It's less about supernatural signs and more about the Spirit's empowerment for authentic Christian witness and service. Again, back to that Matthew 23, Jesus really condemned the religious leaders because they were more focused on the law and rules rather than God's love and compassion. And Jesus called his disciples and religious leaders to an authentic, bold, compassionate Christian witness of love and service. Historically, there have been some really powerful images of faithful witness, and we don't have to do that as today Christians, but just a couple examples of that. There have been times in history when two countries were at war and faithful Christians created a human chain between the battle lines to stop the battle. We've also seen people in faith go on hunger strikes to bring about healing or justice. The next one, wisdom. The ability to sort through opinions, facts, and thoughts to determine possible solutions that would be best for individuals and the community of faith. In Luke 24, Jesus meets the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And as you may recall, they were really struggling. They were struggling with his death. They were struggling because these women came and said that they had seen the risen Christ, and they didn't know what to make of it. But Jesus met them on the road, and in his wisdom, he sorted through the scriptures, beginning with Moses and the prophets, using his wisdom to help them understand the resurrection. The next two we're going to take together, knowledge and discernment of gifts. People with knowledge are driven to learn, analyze, and uncover new insights with regard to the Bible and faith. And discernment of gifts is the ability to seek God's will and purpose and to apply that understanding to call forth gifts from others to benefit the community of faith. Back to that story of the woman on the well, Jesus used both his knowledge and his discernment of gifts with her. His knowledge was he knew before she even told him that she had five husbands. His discerning spirit told him that she was thirsting for spiritual things, not just for the water at that well. And he knew her gifts, that if he shared the good news with her, she would go and proclaim, and surely she did. She went to her town and proclaimed it, and many believed because of her. I think you can look around our congregation and see a lot of knowledge and a lot of discernment of gifts. Faith, those with this gift are able to see the Spirit at work and trust in the Spirit's leading regardless of whether there is a clear path. Jesus demonstrated this faith in his 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He trusted and stayed faithful to God and God's promises, even when tempted. Today, we have tons of examples of people who had great faith and didn't even get to see the fruits of their faith or their vision. For example, Sojourner Truth. She had a vision for freedom for the enslaved and them being treated rightly, but she died before that vision was fulfilled and the civil liberties were fully put into place. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in faith, worked and advocated for the separation of the church from the German Nazi regime. He advocated against the persecution of the Jews and worked to try to gain some Jews their freedom. He really believed that God valued all people, and he waited in faith for the day when religious freedom would become a reality. Unfortunately, he died in faith and did not get to see that vision fulfilled. When we take all these gifts at once and we take them individually and remember Jesus' demonstration of those gifts, looking for those gifts in the world, we can be inspired to welcome those gifts into our lives. Back to that job impossible, that mission impossible. Well, you know what? I took the job. Yeah, I'm a little nuts, but I took it. Because the organization offered a lot of support, I wouldn't be doing it all myself. I could depend on my colleagues, and I could depend on receiving additional training. You are called to the impossible job, the mission impossible of being a disciple of Christ, sharing the gifts of the Spirit with the world. But you don't have to do it alone. Look around you. Okay, I literally want you to put your head on a swivel and look around you. Look at all the gifts represented in this room. Look at the opportunities for support here, Bible study, fellowship, serving together. Look at the movement of the Spirit in the ELCA. Plus, God didn't just drop these gifts in us through the Spirit and then right off into the sunset. No, in these 9 verses, the Spirit is mentioned 7 times. God's Spirit is active now, in and through us, granting us the right gifts at the right time for sharing the love of God with the world. We can come alive to that Spirit, we can depend on that Spirit, and we can say yes to God's impossible job. Why? Because with God and the Holy Spirit, it is never mission impossible. Pray with me, please. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen.